would bow your head for just a minute. Would you say, Lord, please speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Would you say that to the Lord? Lord, speak to my heart, please, and draw me closer to you tonight through the message. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about a subject that I believe God led me to. But some of you, about a month ago at the nursing home, the devotion that we had there, we had not shared that with the church. And felt like God led me tonight to share that with the whole church. So if you were at the nursing home ministry last month, about a month ago, you get a double dose of this, okay? So maybe God is saying you didn't listen the first time the way you... No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not... Back Sunday at 2:30, if you can come and be a part of that, that would be a huge blessing. Now, if you remember growing up, and this is, again, not a reflection of the peace movement or the hippies or anything like that, but do y'all remember what that means? Peace. I remember when I was probably middle school to high school, I would agitate somebody sometimes just enough to get them about riled up, you know, just kind of like look at you and say, I'm going to hit you. And I'd go, peace, man, peace. You know, so I had an out there. But the Bible has a lot to say on the subject of peace. And, you know, I think this is always an applicable topic of peace in the life of a Christian. I mean, I think it's always a good subject to talk about. But I'd say it's especially important when we go through difficult times to understand the peace of God. Here's a few statistics or a few facts about this word peace in Scripture. In the Old Testament, the main word that is used is shalom. Shalom. Say that with me. Shalom. Shalom. And from what I understand, the Jews in particular, I think for centuries have done this. They may come up to one another and they'd say something like, Shalom Aleichem. And that means peace be unto you. And then the person says back to the person that just spoke to him, Aleichem Shalom, which means basically, to you may there be peace. So it's kind of like right back at you. they still use that word shalom today. In the New Testament, in our Bibles, in the New Testament, the word is Irene. Irene. Have you ever known anybody named Irene? That name means peace. And if I were to define that, I define it as like an inner calm or an inner quietness, an inner rest that's inside of you. This really kind of astounded me. The word peace is used in the King James Version of the Bible 429 times. Wow, that's more than one a day. That's a lot, 429 times. We know from Scripture, according to Galatians 5:22, that it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I was thinking about this sometime. I'll probably preach maybe a series of messages someday. I've done this before, I think even since I've been here, but specifically on the subject of the present of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, how what a blessing that is. And when you get that package... As a Christian, when you're saved in the Holy Spirit, I mean, love, joy, peace, patience, long, you know, just on a, isn't that good? I mean, that whole gift that you get. And one of those, when you're saved, is the gift of peace. Paul in prison as he writes Philippians. And this is also kind of good because it's almost like an offshoot on the series of messages we're preaching on Sunday morning and Sunday night on the book of Philippians. Can someone shout out to me the theme? It's not peace, but can someone shout out the theme of the book of Philippians? Joy. It's joy. Now, to me, there are some similarities between peace and joy. Really, there is. I mean, they're not identical for sure. They are different. Joy is that smile on your heart, but that peace is just that calmness that you should have. Now, are there a lot of things in life, that want to rob us of our peace? Absolutely. There's a lot of stuff that comes up. That comes up as individuals, it comes up in our families, may come up in the workplace, may come up in our communities, may even come up in our church, right? And it wants to rob us of that peace. But I'm thankful that this is a similarity with joy. Joy is not dependent upon the outside circumstances, nor is peace in our heart and life dependent upon the circumstances around us. If that would be the case, we'd all be emotional wrecks most of the time. Would y'all agree with that? Because we'd be up one day because, boy, my joy is great and my peace is great. Boy, it's a bad day, so my peace is in the gutter and my joy is in the gutter. Boy, I'm having a good day today. Someone said something like, I mean, we'd be emotional wrecks because we'd be on those like big roller coasters at Cedar Point, right, Ryan? I wanted to ride that one roller coaster. It goes 120 miles an hour. I've pretty much psyched myself up. I was going to ride that because I didn't think I've ever been in a roller coaster that goes that fast, but it was broke down. Can you believe that? That may have been God protecting me. I'm not sure. But then by the time we got to do it again, it opened back up, but we couldn't do it after that or something. Did you and Jason do it? No, you didn't do it either because they didn't get a chance to do it either. I psyched myself up. I won't do it. I'm going to leave this place. But our lives, if peace was dependent upon the outside things around us, again, it would be like this. But like joy, peace ought to be at least steady. And really, the more we mature and the more we know the Lord and the more we serve the Lord and the more we're faithful with the Lord, our peace ought to be going up. Really. It ought to be going up. Not like a roller coaster, not even steady, but actually going up. Now, in this book of Philippians, again, this is kind of a message on, as an offshoot of going through it verse by verse as we're doing on Sunday morning and Sunday night. Peace is mentioned by Paul three times. Three times in the book of Philippians. Now, one of them we looked at in message number one in the book of Philippians. So we're going to hit it and run, okay? Going to hit it pretty fast, I think. You know, that to me means we'll spend no more than an hour on this point. We'll hit it fast. Point number one, the only source of peace is Jesus. The only source of peace is Jesus. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 2, after Paul opens the book, and this is a typical greeting that he uses, he says, Paul and Timothy is the servants of Jesus Christ to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. And then here's the verse, grace be unto you and peace. Where from? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can't go to JCPenney and buy peace. You can't go to a bottle of alcohol and find true peace. You can't shoot yourself up or sniff something enough that you get peace out of it. It's not going to happen, okay? Even accomplishing big things in this world, you say, I just got that promotion, or I got this toy that I can play with, or I got this new house, or I got this piece of land, or I got this monster buck, or I got this trophy fit. None of that gives you peace. Even our relationships with one another. Now, it should help to have good relationships, right? And that's a calming effect in our lives, absolutely. But the ultimate source of peace is only Jesus. That's the only place you're going to find it. And it's found at that point of salvation. At that point of salvation. Remember, remind you again, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And you're not going to have the fruit of the Spirit until you possess the Holy Spirit. And you don't possess the Holy Spirit until you possess Jesus as your Savior. When you're saved, that very instant, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And from that point on, you're supposed to have peace. That inner calmness, that inner quietness, that inner rest. Let me ask you a question. What are some things that want to rob us of our peace? Just in general, in society. What are some things that can really rob us of peace? Larry? The news. Yeah. I've told you my theory on that. Some people just all day long have news on. All day long. They'll have it maybe on Fox News or Newsmax or who knows where they want to have it at. Chicken Noodle Network or the Communist News Network. I'm not sure whatever network they go to, but they'll go to it and have it on forever, all day long. I tell you, I could not handle that. I know I could if I really wanted to, but I don't choose to handle it that way because there is so much bad news, right? And so I'm like, okay, I want to know what's going on pretty much, but just don't give me all the details. Because, and maybe if you say, well, preacher, you're talking against me because I love news. Well, praise the Lord if you love news. But to me, that could be something that could, if I put enough of that into me, it's going to rob that joy out of my heart and life. What are some other things that can rob? Connie?
Being around a pessimistic person that will not touch us.
Yeah, are you talking about Larry?
No.
I just wanted to make sure. No, that's a very good point. Sometimes we're like, I'm having a good day. I got peace in my life. I got peace like a river. I've got joy. I've got the joy down. And then let's call her Sally. Okay, I don't think there's anybody here named Sally, is there, in our church? I apologize if that's your middle name. I'm not talking about you, but you run into Sally. And Sally, just like a drill to a bucket, draining water, that's to your soul. There goes some joy. There goes some peace. And it's just like they're negative and they're negative and they're negative and everything looked pretty good. Now, that's true, right? I mean, does everybody kind of get that idea? Alistair Begg, he's a preacher up around Cleveland area. I remember him saying one time, and he's... He has a really strong accent because he's not from America. He's is he from Australia or England? I'm not really sure which, but he has a really strong accent anyway. I should know that. But he said, he was preaching a sermon. I've listened to it on the radio. I think he said, even on your best days, you do not want to encounter one of those people. You know, it's true. On your best days, those peace zappers, you don't want to encounter. What else robs us of our peace sometimes? Telephone? You mean that those little things in our hands or any of them? I was thinking telemarketer calls maybe too, and then using your yeah, that's a whole nother sermon, John. What else robs us of our peace, Gwen? When the Mountaineers lose. Yeah, we got so used to that now, we're pretty much over it, right? It doesn't rob our joy like it used to. Gwen? Road construction and bad drivers? Absolutely. Money? You're in a financial problem and a pinch, I guess you're speaking of, and needing money, and you don't have the money you need to make ends meet. As they say, there was too much month at the end of my paycheck. You know, things like that, absolutely. Financial things. Amy, did you have one? Yeah, customer service. What's that? What's that? Most companies would say, what's customer service anymore, right? Yeah. Yeah, calling and trying to get help. And God love them. God bless them. He loves them as much as he loves us. But we can't understand you. What are you trying to tell us, right? But there are, would you agree there's a lot of things in life that rob us of our peace? But peace should not be dependent upon the things around us. You know, we should have a solid relationship with Jesus. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go through this. But we should have a solid relationship with Jesus. And the closer we get to the Lord, the less these things should rob us of our peace. Now, we're human, okay? They're going to affect us. But the more we're conscious that my peace comes from Jesus and not from these things in this world, we can live a pretty consistent or even a growing relationship of peace with the Lord. John 14:27, Jesus said in this upper room discourse, I'm thankful for the upper room discourse because he said so much that's an encouragement to my heart. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now that's telling me that the world can give a false sense of peace. Y'all agree with that? I mean, seriously, you might drive that car off that parking lot and you're like, oh, this is good. Yeah, like you, and it's got that new car smell, and you know, everything's good. And I mean, for a moment, I would call that probably a picture of what the world gives. But guess what? It gets dirty. It needs an oil change. Eventually, it'll get rusty. You know, it's short-lived, right? And and you might get that promotion. You might get that bonus check. You might get that. And it's like, wow, this is good. And it gives you that peace for a skinny minute. But the peace that Jesus gives is eternal peace. You know we're going to be with him forever, don't you? Those that know Jesus. Peace on the inside does not depend upon peace on the outside. Or does not depend upon outside circumstances. Everybody got me that? Okay, we're talking about peace, a big subject in the Bible. The only source of peace is Jesus. All right. Number two, prayer. This is pretty appropriate because we're in prayer meeting tonight, prayer meeting and Bible study. Prayer restores our peace when worry threatens. This is the second reference to peace in the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Now, isn't this two of your favorite verses in all of Scripture, Amy? And isn't that the one you misquoted in Baptist Campus Ministry in Morgantown? How did you quote it? Yeah, it basically is saying be careful for nothing or do not be anxious or worry about anything. And she quoted it as worry about everything. And she didn't catch what she was saying, I guess. I wasn't there, but you told me about it, I think, in the past. So I revel in pointing out the faults of my wife. I'm kidding. she could point out a whole lot more faults I got, I'm sure. But in these verses, prayer restores our peace when worry threatens. Let me say, worry is an enemy of peace. Worry is an enemy of peace. And don't let worry become an excuse in your life. You know, like, well, I'm just a worrier. That's just the way I am. Well, then let God change you. You don't have to be a worrier. Now, I fully recognize that some people are more prone to worry with your personality, maybe the way your brain works and all that. I get that. But is our God an all-powerful God? Can God even help a worrier stop worrying? But when worry comes up, I mean, we live in a day and age where if we really wanted to find things to worry about, we could find things to worry about, right? The economy. You know, and the price of everything going up, it's like, how in the world are people going to be able to afford this? And how in the world? And then you got Russia and Ukraine. You got North Korea. You got, was it India? And another country over there was kind of fighting it out a little bit there for a while. I mean, you got all these different nations that are, and you're like, oh man, we could. You know, you got all these problems, right? You got the threat of Iran, you got the nuclear threat and all this and how we're going to handle, you know, just on and on and on. We got plenty to worry about. What if COVID comes back? Oh, me. You know, sorry, I didn't really mean to hit that as hard as I did. I said, preacher, I was doing pretty good. You just busted my eardrum. But the idea viruses that are generated by nations to hurt other people. You know, you got lots of things to worry and think about, right? The crime in our cities, like, wow, you can worry about that. And then you throw all that together, and if you're not careful, you'll become a worrier instead of someone who possesses peace. Because I really think you cannot have peace and worry in the same brain. You know what I'm saying? One will push the other out. But if we know Jesus, let peace push the worry out. And that's what this, what these verses say. It's a very simple concept here. You ready for this simple concept? When you're tempted to worry, it says, be careful for nothing. Or don't worry about anything, but in what? Everything, by prayer and supplication. Prayer is a general word. So it says, guess what? You feel worry creeping up all over you? Go to prayer. And then it says, it uses the word supplication. Now that's a more specific prayer. That's where you go to him and say, okay, God, I want to be real specific about this. I want to tell you exactly what's bothering me. I want to tell you what exactly is trying to rob my peace from me. And you go to him and say, okay, God, this is what it is. So you got it. You go to prayer. You pray real specific. And it says, with thanksgiving. Can you honestly think of something to thank God for at any point? Yeah. So guess what? You can just start thanking God. Well, you know, I'm struggling in this area. I'm tempted to worry. But I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you that I got a roof over my head. I want to thank you for air conditioning on these hot days. I want to thank you that I have friends. I want to thank you that I have the Bible. I want to thank you that I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I want to thank you for Oak Mound Church. I want to thank you. And this just on and, I mean, there's things. That's a good thing to do, don't you think? So you feel worry coming on. You're like, oh, feel this worry coming on. It says, don't worry, but what do you start doing? I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray specific. And in that prayer, I'm going to thank God for all the good stuff that he's done. And then what's it say? Let your request be made known unto God. So specific, what are you asking? Lord, I need some peace right now. Lord, I need some encouragement right now. Lord, I need you. I need you to work out this problem because I'm feeling worry coming up on me. Lord, you're a big God, and I want you. I mean, is that good? Should we do things like that? Then what happens? What happens? It says in verse 7, and the peace of God. Is that an understandable peace? Do we understand exactly where it came from? It says, which passes all understanding. We can't even figure it out, but God says, here it is. You say, how in the world can I have peace in the midst of all this storm? Because it's God peace. It's there. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That idea of keep is the idea of garrisoning or guarding. When you feel worry creeping in and you feel peace seeping out, worry creeping in, peace seeping out, it says, go to the Lord in prayer. Be real specific. It says in particular, thank the Lord with thanksgiving and tell him what you need. And when you do that, guess what? It says the peace of God will just take hold of your heart, guard your heart and your mind, and that worry will flee, and you're now a walking, talking example of peace that God gives. Y'all ever need that? Some of you look at me like, you don't ever need that. I need that a lot. I remind myself of this a lot. I'm like, wow. I feel myself getting a little tense on the inside, and I feel myself getting a little worried and preoccupied about something and thinking about it too much. And I'm like, Lord, I think of this verse, these verses, and I just go to the Lord, and I start praying. I start being real specific. I start thanking God. I start asking God to take care of the situation. And you know what happens? The worry leaves and the peace remains. And God says, that's me. We're talking about peace. The only source of peace is Jesus. I hope you have that source of peace by trusting Jesus as your Savior. I hope you have that peace in your heart and life. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Second, prayer restores our peace when worry threatens. Prayer restores our peace when worry threatens. Last point tonight. Are you ready? Okay. Give me a little nod if you're ready. Amen. Okay, I didn't say nod off. I said give me a little nod. Number three, obedience to the Bible helps maintain peace in our hearts. Obedience to the Bible helps maintain peace in our hearts. Notice Philippians chapter 4, same chapter, the next verse, verse 8. Finally, brethren, writing to Christians, Finally, brethren, remember this is to a local church, so we ought to take this personal, don't you think? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, part of the problem with worry in our lives, and part of the problem with not having the peace that we ought to have, our brains aren't centered on the right stuff. Seriously. Now, I've called this before, and I preached this verse before, I'm pretty sure, calling it the filter of God. The filter of God. If you ask yourself, should I be watching this movie? Well, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it good report? Is it praiseworthy? Most of the times, if you have to ask that question, you probably ought to flick that movie off. When you have that phone in your hand, you can mark it down here. If things don't change, the phone that we carry with us a lot of times is going to be the ruination of our society. I'm serious. And most people, well, amen, 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 but how many hours do you spend on your phone? My mind is a tool. Mine's not a toy. Mine's a tool. I use it as a tool. It's not a toy. You know, I just don't play and spend all my time and playing games and doing all this and learning about people that live 2,000 miles away that I'll never see again and ignoring the one that's right next to me in the chair. That's goofy, okay? That won't cost you anything extra. It has you nothing to do with peace, I don't think, but where was I? But if you got that phone, and you can access about anything on that phone, right? And a lot of stuff on that phone you can access, not good stuff. So if you pull up something and you say, well, let me tell you, is it true? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? If the answer is no to any of those questions, you need to shut it off, get out of that site, wherever you are, that YouTube video, wherever you might be, and just get out of it. So many things in life, we would avoid a whole lot of problems if we would use the filter right here in this verse. I remember in 9/11 when the towers came down and so many people died and how our country was. And I remember, it's kind of like, I don't know about, you didn't want to watch anything violent. And I remember even Alan Jackson in his song, you know, basically, Where Were You? The name of that song is a really good song that he wrote. It said a lot of things that we were thinking. And he said, you know, turn off that violent old movie and turn on some I Love Lucy reruns. I mean, I'm not saying there's a whole lot of theology in there, but the point is a lot of the violent stuff we watch, a lot of the games that we let our kids and our grandkids play, blood, shoot them up, guts going everywhere, and we say, I can't understand why our society is so violent. Well, you're letting your kids and your grandkids play all these violent, weird video games. Ryan will testify to this. We didn't let them play video games. Go out and live life. Don't live. If it was, it was bowling or baseball or something, but very minimally, very, very minimally. Isn't that right, Ryan? Go out and live life. Quit playing it on your phone. And a lot of these people, if you would use this filter, then we'd be playing those games. And these kids don't know any better, but parents are stupid and say, go ahead and play that old game. And then they don't understand why their kid is so violent or their kid is so despondent because he's spending all of his time in his mind on all these things that he ought not be on. Use the filter. If it's true, if it's honest, if it's just, if it's pure, if it's lovely, if it's of good report, it's okay. Otherwise, kick it out. But look at the next verse. That's really where I wanted to be. Verse 9, it says, those things are lovely and pure and just and all that. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's that next word? Big, big, big word. It's hard to pronounce. What is it? Do. do. And the from Southern West Virginia has two syllables. Do, right, Gwen? She's my Southern West Virginia buddy, right? Kanawha County, Southern West Virginia, Fayette County, West Virginia. Okay, wake up over there, Gwen. And it says, and the God of peace, I'm kidding you, shall be with you. The God of peace shall be with you. You know what that's saying? You know, use this filter in the things that you've learned, received, and heard, and seen in me. Do it. Do what you know to do is right. You see, the reason some people don't have any peace in their life is because they're doing their own thing. They're like, I'm saved, going to heaven, know where I'm going, and I'm going to do what I want to do in this world. I have all of eternity to worship Jesus. So in this world, I'm going to do what makes me happy. Now, if you really hold that for a long time, I really doubt whether you got the real thing. But when you do that, you're going to lack peace in your life. You know why? Because if you got the Holy Spirit, if you're a true child of God and you have that attitude, the Holy Spirit's going to get after you. And instead of having the fruit of the Spirit, you're going to have the fruit of conviction, if you will. It's going to be after your hide saying, guess what? You're not doing what you know to do. You're not doing what you've been taught. You're not doing what the Bible tells you to do. And you're like, I'm miserable, I'm miserable, I'm miserable. You know some reason why people don't come to church where the Word of God is preached? You know why? Because it hurts too bad. Because they come to church and they're living their own life and they don't want to hear the truth. And if you don't want to hear the truth, and the truth comes into these ears, you're like, whoa. But that's the reason a lot of them don't have peace. I mean, you show me a backslidden Christian, and I'll show you someone who doesn't have peace. Obedience to the Bible helps maintain peace in our hearts. It says, and the God of peace shall be with you. I think it's talking about a close walk, a close fellowship, a close relationship with God. And guess what? That peace will be in there in a huge way. Because you're doing what you know to do is right. Talked about peace tonight. Talked about peace. The only source of peace is Jesus. Amen to that. Now, I'd encourage you, if you're listening in tonight or you're here tonight and you've never trusted, made that decision. It's a decision. It's a decision. A decision of your heart, your mind, your soul to say, you know what? I believe Jesus died for me on the cross. I'm making the decision to believe that. I'm making the decision to give my heart and life to Jesus. I'm making the decision to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'm making the decision to claim Jesus as my Savior. If you've not done that, you'll never know peace in your life the way you could. Because the only true source of peace is Jesus. I'd encourage you to do that. Secondly, prayer restores our peace when worry threatens. Prayer restores our peace when worry threatens. The next time, I want this is one of those take-home sermons, okay? Just put it in your pocket, take it home with you. And when you're tempted to worry about something, just say, Lord, I'm going to go to prayer. I'm going to pray real specific. I'm going to thank you for all the good things that you've given me in life. And when I do that, I'm going to ask you specifically to help in this situation because you're a big God. And if you mean that from your heart, and you know what the Bible says? The peace of God will guard your heart and your mind. It'll come in there and say, okay, boom, peace. I don't know. I'd much rather have peace than worry, wouldn't you? So now, if that happens this week, just pull it out of your pocket and say, you know what? I'm not going to worry. I'm going to pray to the Lord and let that peace take over. And the last thing, obedience to the Bible helps maintain peace in our hearts. There could be somebody here tonight. There could be somebody here tonight. You are calling almost every shot in your life right now. You're almost doing exactly what you want to do with very little regard to the Bible, with very little regard to what you should be doing. And you're like, where's my peace? Where's my peace? Now, let me throw in a little extra here. I'll put a little asterisk down here. One place we find peace is when we read the Word of God. It'll give you peace. If you're having a lousy day, go to the Word of God. That'll help encourage your heart too, give you peace. Pray to the Lord, as we said earlier, give you peace. But guess what? If you're not having peace in your heart and life because you're calling all the shots in your own life, straighten up and fly right. Do what God wants you to do. You'll not have peace if you're calling your own life and doing what you want to do and not listening to the Lord. Obedience to the Bible helps maintain peace in our hearts. If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. I'm not going to ask you to indicate in any way, but if God is speaking to your heart tonight about this area of peace, let me ask you, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? If not, would you do that real soon? Secondly, are you being really, really, really tempted in life to worry about some situation? Would you take just a moment, go to prayer to the Lord, thank the Lord, be real specific to the Lord, specifically ask what you'd like for Him to do, and would you leave it there, turn it over to Him, and let that peace of God keep your heart and mind, guard your heart and mind? Would you take just a moment and do that now? You say, worries all around me. I've been worried all day. I've been worried the last month. I've been worried for years. Whatever. Go to the Lord and turn it over to the Lord. Say, Lord, here it is. Take this worry. Give me peace.